Clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
And redemption to his people, he has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works. in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The work of his hands is faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. We welcome you to our service this morning. Those who are joining us on the radio as well wish you the Lord's blessings and thank you for being here with us to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament this morning. We do begin on page 2 in your bulletin with our invocation, and we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for the invocation and confession and absolution. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We observe a moment of silence this morning for self-reflection and self-examination from God's Word. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Deuteronomy in the 18th chapter. A prophecy here, really, about our Lord from Deuteronomy and through Moses. We begin in the 15th verse of chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that I shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with 1 Corinthians chapter 8, our epistle lesson. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, beginning in verse 1. Concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand now for our Alleluia in the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today? That's hymn 842 in your hymnal, "Son of God, Eternal Savior." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Important question for you to get things started this morning. Who to listen to? Well, that depends on the subject, I guess, right? If I want to know something about my computer software, I'm probably not going to go down to the meat shop and ask the butcher. If I want to know how to butcher a beef, probably won't go down to the local bank and ask my banker. I mean, it's possible that he moonlights as a butcher, right? Especially in the valley, that could totally happen. Probably does, actually. I think I might know one. All of us in our lives know things and understand different realities given our different stations and vocations in our lives. And some might even consider themselves an expert in their station or vocation, in their field. And if you have a problem, right, like, it's really great to have an expert to help you solve it, okay? We all know. You get the right person on the phone, you get a hold of the right guy or gal, and problem goes away. Can be fixed pretty quick. But who to ask? Who to ask about life? I mean the day-to-day, the every moment, the repeating event of waking up in the morning, going to bed at night, and the issues and the troubles and the things that come up. Who to ask about life? Something inside of all of us is constantly there, letting us know that something ain't quite exactly right. It's sad, but it's true that even on our most joyful days, there's this nagging feeling. One person will flourish for a time, but another person's suffering. One person wins, one team wins, but the other team loses. Some say it's a balance in the universe. Have you heard this? There's a balance in the universe, and that it's sort of like, they call it the yin and the yang, or they call it karma. There's this balance of good and evil and these kinds of things. But let me tell you, the Bible will have absolutely nothing to do with yin and yang, and nothing to do with karma. It doesn't teach a universal balance. I mean, just try telling someone who's suffered a great tragedy in their life. I pray that you haven't, but if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Try telling someone who suffered a great tragedy in their life that it's about balance. And you know what they'll do? They'll probably tell you what a load of garbage that actually is and how it's an ignorant concept of how we make sense out of our own realities based on our own mind and our own thinking. We end up the chief there, right? We end up the one who understands who to ask. In that situation, we might say, oh, you can ask me, actually. I'm not saying that. And I pray that you're not also. The Bible teaches us about absolute truth, divine authority, that someone, God, is above you and me. He has authority over you and me. And he teaches us through his words, through his son, how life really works on the pages of the scripture. And we've got all kinds of our own ideas about this. And we get those ideas from our life experience and our logical conclusions of what we've seen and the stories that we've heard and everything that's gone on in our experience. But the Bible has a different message for us than we've probably reasoned out ourselves in those experiences. There's no harmonious balance of good and evil, winning or losing, success or suffering. I mean, if we are turning to ourselves, it's a blessing to be able to see that that's what you're doing, right? If we're turning to ourselves to get these answers, I mean, aren't we kind of asking the butcher about the software a little bit? I think so. not going to know much about coding your software because it's not what he does. So where are the answers? I mean, this is the question everybody's asking all the time. It's a reason that self-help published books, you know what I'm talking about? Literally record sales. Where are the answers? Who should we listen to about this? About us? About life? Who's the expert in that field? Well, that's what's going on in Deuteronomy chapter 18. That's what it's teaching us today. Listen to this reading again, where Moses says to the people in verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet," he says, "like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." I've got to ask a question this morning again. Who have you been listening to? Who have I been listening to? A lot of voices out there in our world, right? Lots of messages that we look to as we search for purpose. And this is kind of transparent of us to admit this morning, but we look for purpose all the time. Search our lives for meaning, for our identity, for happiness. As we try to make sense out of all the joys and troubles, out of our highs and lows in life. I remember a meme that I saw on Facebook not too long ago that said, "Build a life you don't need a vacation from." Have you seen that one? How's that going for you? Right? Truth is, there's always ups and downs. There's always going to be. Some people seem to have it all, and some people seem to get pummeled with tragedy. But can we just admit it? Can we just say it and give up our fruitless pursuit of trying to understand it all and trying to live like we're in control of everything? And trying to act like we can grasp this giant reality, understand it, and put it to work for us. And can we just live as the Bible calls us, God's little children, who are dependent on him in all these things, who don't have to grasp the wholeness of the purpose of life and understand it and put it to use. Just enjoy the good times. Cry in the bad times. And stop trying to be God over our own lives. In our minds, I mean. It's a cool idea, Pastor. Sounds nice. But see, there's one key ingredient to that recipe. To that approach or that worldview. The key ingredient is trust. Trust. Faith, you could say, too. The only way we could actually ever live like that, like little children, is if there was someone, if there was anyone, anywhere, who we could completely trust to take care of us, to understand the fullness of this thing called life. If there was someone that we could without a doubt be sure would never let us down. Today we're hearing from God's word that there actually is someone. Someone we can fully trust. Have faith in. As Moses says in Deuteronomy, someone we can listen to. This is verse 18. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Who's this prophet? Who was raised up among the brothers? Well, you might remember just a few weeks back here at Trinity when the disciples first realized who Jesus was. It's John chapter 1, verse 45. This is the text. "Philip found Nathanael." You might remember this. "And said to him, 'We found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. And if Moses isn't enough for you, from Deuteronomy 18, we also have Matthew 17 at the Mount of the Transfiguration. Okay, there, God the Father himself speaks from the cloud, if you recall the text, and his words, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Pretty incredible. It's Jesus. It's Christ himself, the one Moses is talking about. And what did God say through this Christ, through his Christ? Well, here's one. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 6. Here's what he said. Here's what we can trust. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, or what you will eat or drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to their lifespan?" The scriptures tell us all over the text. First, here's one more. For the sake of time, I'll read this one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. "Cast all your worries and cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you." Here's what God's telling us all, that when it comes to life, to our ups and downs, to our wins and losses, that there's someone to listen to, someone who's the expert on you, who knows exactly how all of this works. And his words are trustworthy, fully trustworthy. We can have faith in what he says. It's the truth. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, though. That's what we also have to say. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, right? I mean, there we go again, turning to ourselves to try to be the master of all this information. But when we draw our own conclusions about this stuff, because we'll come to church, see, and we'll hear God loves us, God cares for us, all this kind of talk, but then something happens in life. A trouble rises up. There's a big problem. And we start wondering and maybe even doubting. And we say, is this right? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would he allow that? And there we go, about the same task. Drawing those conclusions in our own minds from what we see and what we understand in our experience. And when we do that, and we draw those conclusions, we can end up exalting them against God, trying to lift our own ideas up above the God of the universe. And all the while, we have this prophet like unto Moses, our Lord Jesus, who we can listen to and trust. His teaching from the mouth of God himself, through the scriptures and the apostles, that's telling us the truth, that in our sinful world, we're right. So many bad things happen. Troubles come up. There's problems. But God's not hurting you. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. He's our way out of this mess, friends. He's our rescue. He's our salvation. He's our escape, and he's our very life forever. Looking to what makes sense to us will only confuse us in reality, since God created the heavens and the earth, and he knows how they work. It will just confuse us to believe our own conclusions about the yin and the yang and the karma and all of that. It's just going to be confusing and set us down a rabbit trail in our lives. That's all it can really do. listening to anyone but Jesus about this kind of stuff, including ourselves, only lead us astray. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you think the apostles felt? How do you think they felt the day that they looked up and their Lord Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, Prince of Peace, was hanging up on a cross and bleeding to death right in front of them? How do you think his mom, Mary, felt when she was witnessing that? I bet they were reeling in their minds and asking the question, how could this happen? How could God let this happen to us, to Jesus? And all the while, his words stood true. He was the expert. He told them, clear back in Luke 9, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribe and be killed and on the third day rise again." But the troubles and concerns of that moment, just like for us in our troubled moments, made it challenging for them to hear. Until Easter morning, when they saw that suffering and death led to life and resurrection, until they saw their Lord crucified, killed, and buried standing before them, talking with them. And then they realized without a doubt that he's the one to listen to. He's the expert on life. If he says to you, "Fear not," that he's got it. We can let the fear go. If he says to you, "I will never leave you alone," he's the expert and he's telling us the truth. If he says to you this morning, and he does, that you're forgiven and that he loves you and treasures you, then it's true. And that eventually, in some way, somehow, that all the things in this life he will use to work out according to his good pleasure for us, then we don't have anything to fear. We have vocations. We have things we know, things we might be experts in, but our Lord Jesus is the expert on you and on me. We have his words. May he lead us to do what Moses said. Listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 7 at the bottom of the page there. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker
of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. For our prayers of the church this morning, our response is, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are God of gods and Lord of lords. Truly there is no God but you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From you and from your Son, Jesus Christ, are all things. Reveal the saving knowledge of Christ's truth to us and to all the world, that loving you and one another, together we may be known by God. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our God, whose voice was heard at Sinai and whose authority was made manifest in Christ, the one greater than Moses, send faithful preachers into your harvest who will be diligent to listen to your word and speak it faithfully in your name. Lord, preserve us from false prophets who would lead us astray from your truth. And give us ears to hear gladly and to listen to Christ in his saving words. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guard our families and homes and build them up in love. Support parents in their task of raising children and instructing them in the faith. Strengthen those whose faith is weak, and make us bold to set aside conveniences and pleasures and attest to the truth of our most holy faith. Also, Father, bless our school ministry here at Trinity. Guide and protect our teachers, staff, school board members, and help us to love and care for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give health and guidance, we pray, to our President Joe Biden, our Governor Jared Polis, to our legislators and judges, and all who serve for our governance and protection. Make them high in purpose, wise in the counsel of your word, and unwavering in duty to you, Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son cast out unclean spirits and taught with authority. He is the great physician of body and soul. Have mercy on those who are sick, distressed, in danger, or facing any need. Lord, we especially name before you in our prayers this morning Michelle Sechrist, Willa Del Erke, Robert Hagedorn, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Jim and Linda Holman, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sunny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Sustain them with patience, Lord, trusting in your merciful care, and graciously relieve them, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, look with favor on all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and renewal of life, and so receive a foretaste of the feast to come in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hope, guard and keep all who face the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, and preserve the faith of those troubled by doubts. Lord, help us see that our conclusions can lead us astray, and through daily repentance and our baptism, enable us to win the victory over all the threats to our faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead. We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service when we have the opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of those things that he blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we sing together hymn 789, Praise and Thanksgiving. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and wish you the Lord's blessings upon the rest of your day and your week. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn to page 8 in the bulletin. Actually, page 9 is where our preface begins for our service of the Holy Sacrament. Please stand also for our service of the sacrament if you're able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundations of the world you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Hosanna. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsen.